AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
In This League rolls on hour two with Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. You can find us online at Is It The Welsh at Bogman Sports. That's the Twitter handles. And of course at InThisLeague.com, where we live and thrive on our Patreon with tons and tons of content. You might say so much content for so much fun. We are extending in our week 14 picks. If you missed any of it, hour one, all dedicated to our picks. We've got the coin involved here. We're setting our card and we're making all the picks in the NFL. So if you're jumping in late, you might want to go back and listen. But let's get one in here before we jump into the next segment where we're going to finish off the slate here, Boggs. We've got the Giants at the Chargers. Chargers are a 9.5-point favorite. 43.5 is the line. Chargers are a decent bet here as far as where the money is, but almost every dime is on the over-under. Giants 6-6 against the spread, 3-8-1 on over-unders. Chargers also under 500 on over-unders. They are 6-6, though, against the spread. And some little facty facts. Each of the Giants' last six games have gone under the point line, this total point line. The underdogs have covered the spread in each of the Chargers' last four games, and the Chargers have lost six of their last seven road games. So Bogman, what say you on this little slate here?
Well, I mean, you gave some numbers that are more towards my pick, just being the underdog that I'm going to take the Giants here. But this is more because I just don't trust the Chargers without Keenan Allen. He still could play at this point as we're recording this, if he tests negative twice, but it's a rare occasion. It happened for Watt last week, though, so it's not impossible. But I just don't like them without him. Mike Williams is a close contact, so he might be able to play if he tests negative a couple times, so that would be nice. But if not, I mean, who are they throwing the ball to? Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer and Jared Cook? Good luck. So I'll take the Giants. I'll take the over here too, just because this number 43 I think is low. I know the Giants have been rough, but Mike Glennon looks like he's going to be back, and it's not going to be Jake Fromm, so I could just see this being like a 24-20 game, and that gets you to the over. So give me the Giants, give me the over.
Yeah, the 53 points on average are being scored here, by the way. 53 points on the year. I'm torn in a lot of different ways because the quarterback play for the Giants has me worried a little bit. This is a great matchup for Saquon. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go Chargers, and I'm going to go with the over. I'm going to take the big points here. I think Chargers start to get themselves maybe a little bit right here. Giants are a great team to do it. When we come back, though, we're going to...
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Flip the coin for what the coin decides on this, and we've got four more games on the slate. So week 14 rolls on. All our picks right here on In This League.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League.com, friends. That is where you guys can come and sign up, support your boys, and you will get stuff and things. You can do one of two things. You could just want to support us, independent podcasters, and do all that, or you can get like a gajillion different things, from live streams to comedy secret shows to all of our different rank sheets we put together. You can be involved in cool industry-based things. We've got Deck Our Balls Christmas special coming up next week, and of course, our GroupMe rooms. Lots and lots of fantastic people creating leagues, talking stuff. It's a good little way to get inside your favorite sport and be around people that like, you know, fantasy sports as much as you do, or gambling, or whatever the hell it is. Let's jump back into this bad boy. We both did our picks for the Giants-Chargers game. By the way, I would stay the hell away from this game. I have no interest in this game whatsoever. Maybe the over. I could see myself wanting to tease that over down, but I don't know. I just don't want to, like, do anything. Let's see what the coin has to say, though, because you're Giants, I'm Chargers. We both picked the over.
Give me the Giants. I want the G-men.
Head for Chargers, tails for Giants, and going Chargers with me.
Oh, I don't like the Bolts.
Head for over, tails for under. Going under. All right, going to take that under here. So we're going to fade us on that. My San Francisco 49er game is up. San Francisco goes into Cincinnati. 49ers obviously coming off of a pretty disappointing loss to Seattle, to say the least. It's interesting, this line, because there's some other books that have it at two. So this
Saw it yesterday with Cincinnati by one.
I could have got that. Yeah, I see one that has moved to San Francisco in favor of two. It's at one here. 48.5 is the over under. Decent favor on San Francisco. Lots of money on the under right now. San Francisco is only 5-7 against the spread on the year, but 7-5 on over under. 6-6 is both sides of against the spread and over under for Cincinnati. And some of the fun facts here: the Bengals have failed to cover the spread in four of their last five games at Paul Brown Stadium. Five of the Bengals' last six games have gone over the total line, and the Bengals have lost 10 of their last 13 games against NFC opponents. If you like any of that stuff, Bogman, I like the San Francisco 49ers, and I like it so much, I am putting it on my card. This is essentially just win, baby. Just win for the San Francisco 49ers. I like it. They cannot come out of this with two straight losses, or it is over. This is a must win for the 49ers. Garoppolo can't be stupid like he does. Elijah Mitchell's out there. They're potentially going to get Debo back. And because of that, I'm actually also going to go with the over, because, you know, Joe Burrow is a very efficient quarterback, and those efficient quarterbacks are the ones that eat up the 49ers. The big play guys, 49ers have done a decent job about stopping big plays, but Burrow's efficient. They'll just beat you down until they can find their play. The Niners do get Warner back. This is a decent amount of points, but it's in Cincinnati, so I don't think they're going to just roll over. So for San Francisco to win, I think it has to hit the over. So I am going to tap the over with 52.5 points being scored on average in Cincinnati. And I'm going to take San Francisco, and San Francisco is on my card, only the third to join my card.
I'm going to take the Niners too. I'm not as confident as you are on either side of this game. I think it's a pretty evenly matched game. I'll take the under too, just because both these offenses have some stuff going on right now. Joe Mixon showed up on Thursday with an illness. He didn't show up, so he was out with an illness. But Eli Mitchell still in concussion protocol. Debo is a maybe, but probably, it looks like, at this point. So there's just some stuff going on here. Jimmy G's not playing his best ball. Joe Burrow has the pinky, that kind of stuff. So I'll take the under. Not super confident on either side here. I'll also take the Niners. What says JFK?
Let's see what the coin says. It says tails, so it's going with the Bengals. Screw you. And it is going heads for the over. So Cincinnati and the over. So three more games here. Buffalo at Tampa Bay. Tampa's a 3-point favorite. 53.5 is the line. Every human being wants the under so far with their money, but Tampa is your current favorite. What say you, Boggs?
I'm going to take Tampa Bay -3, and I'm going to put it on my card. I just think that Tampa Bay really needs to get back on track here. I think they're going to give the ball to Leonard Fournette a bunch in this game. So I'm going to fade the public and take the over. But that's just because I think maybe our boy Josh Allen gets a little frustrated, maybe puts some up in the air, maybe a couple turnovers here for Tampa Bay in this defense. They just need a big win here, I feel like. So give me Tampa Bay and give me the over.
I'm going to go with Buffalo on this side. I'm getting some points after, you know, that just embarrassment of a game. I think there's a motivation. I think they're out for blood. This is two of the best teams.
How dare you call it embarrassment? Come on. You know better than that.
I'm very sorry. But it was a bad game, and I think they're going to be out for blood, and I think they're going to get that offense. They're not going to dink and dunk this game. They're going to have to play point for point, and I'm getting a few points with Buffalo. I don't love it. You love Tampa Bay. I don't really love anything on this side with these two teams because I think literally anybody can win. Tom Brady's thrown 5 straight interceptions in games, so I'm going
to
go Buffalo.
You got to give it to Lenny.
I'm going to take the under in this as well. Maybe the defenses both step up, but big defenses here, good defenses. Let's see what the coin has to say. Coin says tails, so it is going with me on Buffalo, and heads for the over. So Buffalo and the over. So a little bit of a fade. We have got the Chicago Bears. I believe this is Sunday Night Football. Chicago yep. Bears at Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is 11.5-point favorite at home. 43.5 is the line. The money is heavy Green Bay in the over right now. Heavy Green Bay in the over.
Everybody just wants to use I own you gifts when they beat their, you know, when the Packers beat the Bears to send to their Bears friends. I'm going to take Chicago. I just don't like the spread here. It was a point bigger yesterday. It was 12.5. So I guess more money is coming in on Chicago recently, but it's still way, way in favor of Green Bay. So I don't know what's going on there. I wouldn't bet this game, to be honest with you. But I might take the over. I'm not going to put it on my card, but I would be, if I'm betting something this game, just because it's Sunday Night Football, I would take the over instead of either one of these teams because the spread's so big. So give me the over. More confident in that. I'll take Chicago just because I don't like giving any team 11.5 points. But I think Chicago's good enough to not lose by that.
Yeah. Packers have won 10 of their last 11 games against the Bears, but the money line's not in play. They've covered 10 of their last 11. And check this out. The Bears are 1-8 as dogs this year, and the Packers are 6-2. So that doesn't
is that
exactly,
against the spread or is that
that's
up?
Just straight up. So that doesn't relate to the money line. I'm going to go Green Bay. I think they're going to be able to put up those points on Chicago. They're still a mess. I'm going to go the over as well. If I was betting, I'd probably play that as well. The coin says Green Bay and the under. Green Bay and the under for the coin. The final one up on the card here is the Rams at the Cardinals here in Arizona with me. Arizona's a 3-point home favorite. 51.5 is the line. It's pretty split between the picks, and it's a little bit in favor of the over. But what say you, Boggs?
I like the Rams in this game. I just think if you have aspirations of winning the Super Bowl this season, they have to come into Arizona and beat the Cardinals because the Cardinals did it to them in L.A. So I think you have to bow up. You have to show that you're not going to get pushed around by the Cards. You're not going to lose them twice in the division. You have to win this game. I also love the over here. I think both offenses, you know, Murray is another week removed from his injury. So is Hopkins. The Rams had their foot on the gas last week against the Jags. I think they have to do the exact same thing here to beat the Cardinals. I think it's going to be a close, fun Monday Night Football game to watch. I think it'll be the complete opposite of the Patriots and Bills Monday Night Football game. High scoring, lots of intensity, and no weather because it's in a dome. So give me the Rams and the over here.
Yeah,
and put the over on my card.
I'm going to take the over on my card as well. That's going to be my fourth. You have four as well. We have two of the same. I'm going to take that over as well because this is a must win on both. It's in
goddamn coin.
Time.
Better take the over, Welsh.
Yeah,
that's all
I know.
I'm saying.
This is prime time. I also am going to take the Rams just simply because I'm getting a few points here. I think this can go in either direction. The Rams could win this outright, so getting the +3 just gives me a little bit more wiggle room. I don't feel confident that the Cardinals are going to just jump in and lay this out. So I'm going to tail you in this, but I'm going to take the over. So we both have 4 in our card. The coin says heads or tails. It is going with the Rams with us. And over under, it is tailing us. Monday Night Football. The coin
Let's
is
go,
completely
coin.
With us here. That is beautiful. So our card quickly, I have got the Rams over, San Francisco on -1. I've got the
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
In the New Orleans Jets game and Tennessee -8.5. Bogman?
Rams, Arizona, over 51.5. Tampa Bay -3. The under in the New Orleans and the Jets game and Seattle -8.5.
Boom. There you go. That's our card. Friends, don't go anywhere. We have got an interview with Kyle Yates from our podcast. It's Bogman and Kyle Yates over the next couple segments right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Guest time on the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, and we got a great one here. It's my man Kyle Yates at KyleYNFL on the Twitter machine. You know him from Fantasy Pros. You know him from all the amazing stuff and things he has been doing over the years in the fantasy football industry. Yates, what is going on, my man?
Hey, it is. I was thinking about this before we jumped on here where, I mean, before the start of the season, I don't think that we had ever like interacted. And now it's like every single week, I feel like I'm either talking to you or Welsh. And so definitely appreciate all you guys are doing over here. Appreciate getting to know you. And yeah, definitely excited for this podcast.
Yeah, and we are exchanging guest spots. So Kyle's going to be on here this week. I'm going to jump on Fantasy Pros. We talk about wide receiver free agent class coming up in the offseason next week with him. So, you know, if you like us together, pay attention, right? So it's going to be a lot of fun. But we usually do the plays. I'll get you to answer this question. And this is a kind of a broad overarching question to start here, Kyle. It's are these guys who are normally just plug and play stardom guys, but are giving us a little bit of worry here, are they startable not only in the playoffs the next 3 weeks after this, but if you're looking to make the playoffs this week? And we're going to start at quarterback and we're going to go with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's been obviously an up and down season for him. I know that PFF has talked a lot about his, interception, negative regression that had to be coming because he does have so many turnover worthy plays pretty much every single game, but it is swung back the other way where he was having good luck the last couple years. This year, he's having incredibly bad luck too. This Chiefs offense just doesn't look right either. So this week, you got to get to the playoffs. Is Patrick Mahomes startable?
It's crazy. We have this mantra in fantasy football, which is like you start your studs. And when we look at Patrick Mahomes, it's like, okay, yes, stud quarterback historically, like stud quarterback this season, at least specifically the past couple weeks, has not been great. So I get why you're asking the question. The conversation then turns to like, do you have another better quarterback on your roster that you're going to actually be able to start over Patrick Mahomes? That's kind of where the conversation turns to. Now, in rankings from years past, we had just said like Patrick Mahomes every single week, just set him at the QB1 spot. You don't even think about it twice. That's really just where we're at with Patrick Mahomes. Now, for week 14, I've got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback 7 on the week. So I've got guys like Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Herbert, Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, all above him. So I think the conversation turns to, unless you have one of those other six guys, you're still starting Patrick Mahomes because he still does come with tremendous upside. This matchup up against the Raiders defense, Raiders have not been good here over the past couple weeks, really since John Gruden was released from the team. So like, I think that it's just one of these matchups where we got to still look at Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's tough to not start him. I was in a guillotine league and I picked up Patrick Mahomes off the wire because we were down to the last four, right? And so nobody needed a quarterback. So I was like, all right, I got Aaron Rodgers on a bye. So I'm going to pick up Patrick Mahomes for free, start him, and definitely make it to the next round. Didn't make it. I got cut. Finally, final four. And Mahomes and Kelsey, my two of my big guys. Yeah. If I just get one touchdown, One Mahomes to Kelsey touchdown. I am not talking about this. I'm probably bringing up somebody else right now, but I'm definitely bitter beer face about this. So not very happy about it at all. Let's go to running back here. This one is a little different because not only has the team overall been underperforming, this guy has been pretty solid, but he's a little nicked up right now. James Robinson with the Jaguars, and they're playing Tennessee, I believe, this week. Yeah, on the road against Tennessee. He's got the heel. He's got the ankle. We had Urban Meyer talk about how it was dumb to put him in the last couple minutes last week. I mean, I don't know what Urban Meyer's doing.
Yeah.
But is James Robinson safe to start this week, do you think?
I really don't feel as concerned about the injury with James Robinson. Really, it's more so the fact that he's playing for Urban Meyer. And the fact that if he fumbles, he's going to be benched. Like, and Urban Meyer was like, no, we didn't bench him. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you clearly did. He didn't play for like 22 minutes.
Exactly. Like, no, you benched this guy because he fumbled, even though he is like the only good thing on your offense currently. James Robinson, I mean, I have met RB20 on the week, and it's a good matchup up against Tennessee, but I don't think that we can feel extremely confident in playing James Robinson. In weeks past, we've been able to say like high-end RB2 every single week has a good chance to fall into the end zone, but at least he's going to see volume. Now, I just don't know, because we do have the concerns of if he fumbles again, is Urban Meyer going to, you know, wrongly bench him? So yeah, it's really just one of these situations where I want James Robinson on a different offense. I want Urban Meyer out of the NFL as a head coach. Like, let's just start this over, Jacksonville, because it's not working.
I mean, we saw all of these college jobs open too, and we were all just like, oh, come on, go to USC.
Come on, do it.
Come on, just get out of here. You know, it ain't working. And unfortunately, he's going to keep rolling. I can't believe he survived his little slip up midseason. You committed to him for a decade. So that's the way it goes. How about DJ Moore? Speaking of guys that are just a little bit on the cusp, I think this might be the one where you say, I don't know if I can start him. He has been good like the last 2 weeks. He's been better with Cam Newton, but I think it's hair trigger for Cam Newton. He throws a pick, fumbles in the first quarter. We may not see him again. So I have a lot of nerves about rolling out DJ Moore or telling people, yes, you can feel safe rolling out DJ Moore, because I don't feel safe about it. So what's your take on Moore moving?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As far as like feeling safe doing it, definitely not. Definitely not going to feel safe starting a wide receiver with Cam Newton throwing him the ball, who Cam is coming off of that 5-for-21 game with a 5.8 NFL passer rating.
Dude, I thought he was going to be so good in that game too. Blitz Cam like you blitz Lamar Miami, and it ain't going to work. And it totally worked.
Yeah. So I think with DJ Moore, like, he still has been getting it done. Like you mentioned, the past 2 weeks, the wide receiver 22 in half PPR scoring both of those weeks. And then, but you do have concerns with Cam. And I think if it was any other matchup, really, if it was a tougher matchup, we would say like, you got to sit DJ Moore this week, but he's going up against Atlanta, and Atlanta's secondary has just been gashed by opposing wide receivers. So I think at this point we have to still look at DJ Moore as a mid-range wide receiver too. I've got him at wide receiver 18 on the week currently. So he's someone that we can start. And again, too, because once you get outside of that range, like, we're starting to move into, like, I've still got Darnell Mooney at wide receiver 24. Chase Claypool at 25, Brandon Cooks. Like, once you get past the top 20 guys at wide receiver, it's really a crapshoot from there on out. Yeah. So I think with DJ Moore, we do still have to look his way. I'm going to have a little bit more confidence in him than like James Robinson and even Patrick Mahomes that we've talked about already.
How about your other Kyle here, Kyle Pitts at tight end? I wanted to pick one at each position, and I thought Pitts was going to be great. I watched him at Florida. He won me CFF titles last year. I play a lot of college fantasy, and he's a mismatch nightmare. How can he not get in the end zone 10 times? Like, these were all my thoughts. Right. He looks like faster Tony Gonzalez out there, right? It has not panned out at all the way we thought it was coming into the season. Now, last week, the numbers were slightly better, but I think the big thing was him staying on the field. He played, I believe, 88% of the snaps for the Falcons last week, which is not something he's been doing in every game. So just the fact that he's out there more, the fact that they need him to catch the ball because Calvin Ridley is gone, this all adds up. But, you know, that is a bit of a crutch argument when you say, well, he has to catch the ball because someone has to catch the ball. Well, yeah, they could also give Russell Gage 12 targets like they did last week, and he goes crazy. So is he trustable to start? Because there are guys at tight end you can add off the wire. There are many guys at tight end too. Tight end is fairly deeper this year than it has been in a while. Yeah. So what do you think about rolling Kyle Pitts out in a must win?
Listen, I think the first part of what you said is still correct. Like what Kyle Pitts was at Florida, what he can be in the NFL, it's still all there. Like we've seen the flashes. However, when you literally only have Russell Gage to draw attention away from opposing defenses, like with no Calvin Ridley, there's no one else to threaten defenses. So they're just simply saying, okay, we'll take away Kyle Pitts and we'll make Russell Gage beat us, right? Olamide Zaccheaus, like that's who we're going to make beat us. And it's been a winning strategy for opposing defenses this year. So with Pitts, I think it's an interesting point where you talk about the waiver wire and someone specifically like Tyler Conklin, that's going to be a tough decision to make this week, right? Where you look at Tyler Conklin now with Adam Thielen all but ruled out for Thursday Night Football. Are you going to play Kyle Pitts or are you going to play Tyler Conklin this week? And that is a legitimate conversation that we need to have. So I think I will still give the edge there to Kyle Pitts, but as far as like must start, no, I don't think he's in that must start territory anymore. I had him at tight end 12 on the week last week. And I had him at tight end 4 the week prior against Jacksonville because I was like, it's Jacksonville. He's going to go off in that matchup. He still didn't really perform against Tampa Bay, really. I mean, yeah, the numbers looked a little bit better, but they're still not great. So yeah, I think Kyle Pitts, if you've got him, I think you can still confidently roll him out. But unless you have one of the better options that you can pivot to, it's an interesting conversation.
Now, we're rolling a little fast here, so I didn't put this on the sheet, but I want to put you on the spot here and ask you this question. Jonathan Taylor, clearly the number one pick for next year, right? It's not really a debate at this point, for sure. Correct?
Correct.
Who's two?
I mean, I don't know. You know, like it is a complete crapshoot because once you get past Jonathan Taylor, then you're really starting to look at the situations that players are in. I think, you know, we had the guys with Christian McCaffrey. I don't think people are going to want to draft Christian McCaffrey at number 2 overall, and I'm probably not going to advise them to. Saquon Barkley, definitely out of the conversation now with the way
he's a second rounder.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, like with his injury history, like I think that he needs to be knocked down from that number 2 spot. So the guys that I think we can at least put in the conversation are going to be Alvin Kamara, but he's even been banged up this year.
He was banged up last year too.
Right,
the whole year. He played through it last year.
Right.
But he played with that ankle injury.
Yep. So. Austin Eckler. Like, do we put Eckler in that conversation? Even though he has seen just a ridiculous workload this year, is he going to be able to, you know, hold up to that next year? The player that I honestly think is going to be put into that RB2 or like the number 2 overall selection, Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon is going to move back into that territory, even though people were completely off of Mixon this year. I was the one that was pounding the table saying, like, this is now finally the year where everything is pointing right for Joe Mixon. And now this is the year that people are going to back off of drafting him. I get that he hurt people in 2020, but that was more so of Zach Taylor just refusing to put him on IR when the injury happened and just kind of stringing fantasy managers along, more so than Joe Mixon's fault or injury prone or anything like that. So I honestly think Mixon probably moves into that number 2 overall conversation because who are you going to put over?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Payment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Let's go to the plays for the week. And the way we do this, the Welsh gave me his, so I have his. We try not to double up, but if we double up, we double up. It's not that big a deal. If you pick one of mine, I'll try to find somebody else. But let's start at QB. and the QB number one overall for week 14. And since you're the guest here, usually I go first, but since it's just you and me, Welsh could not be here. Obviously, he's got a work thing that he's got to take care of, but I'll let you go first here. So who is your QB number one overall for week 14, Kyle?
I think that we just finished talking about it with like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Like these guys are just underperforming. Normally they would be kind of cemented into that QB one spot, but for me, Josh Allen is going to get the nod. And with Allen, I know that the stats didn't necessarily look great this past week, but you got to take into the greater context of that weather that was happening on Monday Night Football. So I think with Josh Allen going up against Tampa Bay, this game could easily turn into a shootout. It's one that is going to be a ton of fun to watch. And then you look at Tampa, their secondary is still super banged up, and they are just coming off a game where they allowed 297 passing yards to Matt Ryan. So I think if we look at Josh Allen this week, I feel I've had Lamar Jackson at the QB one spot each of the past 2 weeks. I have not felt great about it, but it's been like, who am I going to put above him? And I think this week I've got Josh Allen firmly cemented in there at the QB one spot.
Yeah, I mean, it all adds up. They should probably be playing from behind, you know, especially late. Josh Allen can throw. It's going to be better weather. So I like that pick. The Welsh is taking Dak Prescott against Washington. It's a dicey pick, but I do like it. I think at some point we're going to get Washington's defense going back to what we saw earlier in the offseason. But since their bye week, they have been great. So it is a tougher pick. But I'm going to take Matt Stafford against Arizona. I think that if you have actual Super Bowl aspirations, if you're the Rams, Matt Stafford is going to have a big game here. They had to beat the brakes off of Jacksonville, and they did. And you have to beat Arizona. You have to split this series, and Arizona won at home or won at their home in L.A. So I think Matt Stafford is going to put up some big numbers this week, specifically with a banged up Henderson. And I don't think Sony Michel is going to have the running room against Arizona that he had against Jacksonville last week. Sleeper QB for week 14. Kyle, who do you have for that?
I feel super gross about this one, man, but let's go with Cam Newton. Cam Newton sitting there.
I almost did it. I almost put him on my sheet, and I was like, I can't do it after that last performance. I just can't. I know, man.
But when you look at the rest of the options really in the quarterback position outside of that, it's not good. I mean, so you look at Cam and the matchup. I mean, it's purely just because of the matchup. And we finished talking about it with DJ Moore saying like Atlanta's secondary has been gashed, but they're also allowing 23.8 rushing yards per game to the quarterback position this season too. And that's just on average. So you got to figure out that when you have the pocket passer quarterbacks, they faced Tom Brady, twice already so far this year, like those averages, those numbers come way down. So in games where they faced mobile quarterbacks, they're getting gashed, especially with how much man coverage they play. So sitting there at QB 14 in ECR, that is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. But I do think that he has the best potential to finish inside the top 12. And I do also think that he has the best potential to finish outside the top 24 when the week is done. So one of these guys that is just an extremely volatile play. But if you're desperate, like I just picked him up in a 14-team league. I was rolling with Matt Ryan last week because he was the best option on the waiver wire. Yeah. Cam Newton was sitting there. I had to roll with him.
I got to believe he'll bounce back too. You know, that
hopefully the bye week helps there. Yeah.
And Miami's defense is rolling right now. Yeah. They're really, really good and completely underrated. So it's like ever since they finally just gave Javon Holland 100% of the snaps at safety and played Jalen Phillips more than 20%, they've been great. You know, use those draft picks. So they're reverse rookie walling this, like they were bad until now or a couple weeks ago, and now they're great. For the Welsh, he's going to take Joe Burrow against San Francisco. Another, the reason I didn't take Joe Burrow is just because of the pinky. I think other than that, I definitely would have put him in there. And Welsh is also a masochistic Niner fan. So I think he sees the writing on the wall. You know, the Bengals playing pretty well. Niners coming off a big win. Could be a letdown spot. This one, I feel as queasy as you do about Cam Newton, about mine. I'm going to take Ryan Tannehill against Jacksonville. Yep. And I they're going to get Julio back. And I think after the bye week, their idea in this offense was, okay, we lost Derrick Henry. Let's bring in Deontay Foreman, who's a guy that, you know, I've said this many times. I remember watching him at Texas have 55 carries against the Jayhawks, right? So he's a guy that
game.
Can
I remember have, that game.
They lost that game. They lost that game to Kansas. It was the first game in 50 years they lost to Kansas. And then when I moved to Austin, I'm a Texas fan, I drove to Austin to watch the Longhorns play the Jayhawks this year, and they lost in overtime. I don't know if you saw that game, but that was, oh, God, maybe pull my hair out. But anyway, I think, you know, you try to bring in Adrian Peterson, a guy that can carry the load, who had in the past Derrick Henry style. None of it worked. It worked way better when they're throwing passes to Hilliard, using him. You know, I think they take the bye week and change the offense to a non-Derrick Henry offense. Derrick Henry comes back and you're in the playoffs, you can go right back to handing him the ball 50 times. It's not that big a deal. It's not hard. It's not hard to adjust to a running game, but you got to get your timing right. You got to get everything right when you're going to pass a little bit more. And I think they're going to work on that, you know, these 2 weeks off of their bye and change how the offense looks. I think you have to, if you have any aspirations of winning this game and making the playoffs. So I think that we should see Ryan Tannehill throw the ball 30 times this game. And we've seen before, if you give him that, and then that opens a little bit of a running lane for him, it's going to have to fall on his shoulders for this team to win. He's going to have to go out and earn it. So I'm going to take Tannehill against Jacksonville. I think they're an easy punching bag as well. How about a surprise RB1 for week 14, Kyle? Who you got for that?
I'm going to stick with my guy who is he's been my guy this entire season. I'm going to go with Daryl Henderson. And I think that the extra time here for him to get right, you know, I thought that he was going to be ruled out this past week, kind of panicked because I had told a lot of people to start Sony Michel. And then when it came out that he was active, I was like, oh crap, this is not going to work out well. Didn't
that was
see a
so
snap.
Dumb. That
it was weird.
Dumb.
Like just rule the guy inactive. Like, why is he active? But I do think that with this game being, it's on Monday night too. So I do think that we're going to have a little bit of extra time here for Henderson to get right. And I don't think that what we're going to take away from that game with Sony Michel last week is that Sony Michel suddenly deserves, you know, the RB1 spot, right? When Daryl Henderson has been incredibly productive so far this year. It was up against Jacksonville. It's kind of the same thing with Gardner Minshew as like a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia. It's like, okay, let's pump the brakes. He was playing New York, the Jets, right? So let's not suddenly make up this to say that it's suddenly a controversy here. So I think Henderson, he's sitting at RB21 in ECR, and then he's going up against Arizona, who just allowed David Montgomery to roll for 28 PPR points. So I do think that we can see Henderson produce to be that like surprise top 12 guy. I think he's going to move up ECR as the week progresses, as we see like the practice reports and stuff like that. But right now, he was one of the players that I had to circle and say, all right, you got to start my guy.
So the Welsh is trolling me here, by the way. He picks Saquon Barkley, who I'm a huge Barkley guy. And obviously, I've been unbelievably frustrated this season with what has been going on with him. He was hurt. Then he came back. Then he got hurt again. And now they're just not using him. They're giving him he clearly has a snap count top, you know, and I don't know, man. Like, if you're good enough to play, then play and let him win a game for you. Give him the ball 25 times, you know, give him 20 rushes and 10 pass attempts, 10 targets, and let him do it for you. But I also get the logic in this pick because of playing the Chargers, and the Chargers are terrible against the run. So I get where he's coming from, but I also think because he knew he wasn't going to be here, it's a little trolly making me explain it for him. I go with Clyde Edwards-Helaire against Vegas. You just talked about Vegas, and their defense is not fantastic. They can get into rushing the passer a little bit. That's something that they can do well when Max Crosby is on his game, Yannick Ngakoue is on his game. But I think the idea for Kansas City is to give the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit more because Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked fantastic. And I know they go to Darrell Williams too, and they split last week, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire barely played. It was because he was coming off having the flu is why I think he had fewer carries than he normally would. So I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets right against Vegas this week and has a big week. How about a surprise RB2 for week 14?
You talked about it with the narrative of Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to go back to Tennessee. I'm going to go to that backfield. I'm going to go not with Deontay Foreman, but all with Dontrell Hilliard, especially when we talk about it in a full PPR sense. He's had 16 and 18 PPR points the past two games he's played in, and a matchup up against Jacksonville this week, who was allowing 17 points per game to opposing running backs. So we look at Dontrell Hilliard and how productive he has been in the past two starts that he's gotten, the past two games here with Tennessee, and I think coming out of their bye week, they are going to make sure that they feature this guy, because even if Julio comes back this week, which he's designated to return to practice, I don't know if he's going to be active.
Right.
Even if Julio is back, I still think that Hilliard is going to be heavily involved in the game plan. So one of these guys, RB33 and ECR, definitely someone that I think has the potential to finish as a top 24 running back.
And it's Jacksonville, so it's not hard to think that Hilliard and Foreman can both have decent weeks. And by the way, Welsh also took Hilliard, so doubled up. Obviously, the same logic there. I'm going to go with Chuba against Atlanta, obviously. CMC on the season-ending IR. So we got to find a running back to work. Atlanta soft against pretty much everything. Atlanta has good linebackers. Deion Jones and Fosse Adolokun are amazing. They got nothing else in that defense. I do think A.J. Terrell's getting a
little A.J. Terrell, yep.
But, you know, he's still, he can't defend the whole secondary by himself. Right. So even with his improvements. So I think Chuba Hubbard, I think if, you know, we hear something about potentially Amir Abdullah is going to get the ball a little bit more than him, also can go that way. So, but for right now, I'm going to stick with Chuba as he should be the number one runner. Sleeper, just a sleeper running back overall, someone ranked, you know, outside the top 36, maybe even outside the top 48, that you think that if you're in a deep league, maybe a desperation play, this guy could maybe put up some points.
I'm glad that you put the qualifications there, right? Deeper league, desperation play, because we're going to go to Seattle and we're going to go with Rashad Penny. Penny here, picking him up off of waivers. I think if you are in that spot where you are absolutely desperate and you are in a deeper league, a matchup up against Houston this week, he was allowing 125.6 rushing yards per game, which is the most in the NFL. And he is currently RB51 in ECR. So there is a guy that we can look to on the waiver wire. I know that Penny has just burned people time and time through, but we look at the narrative here for Seattle. It's like, are you going to give the guy who you previously spent a first round pick on the majority of the carries, or are you going to give Adrian Peterson, who just went 11 for 16, right, in his first game? So you're going to give, you got to give this guy the majority of the carries. The only narrative that I can think through is like when Adrian Peterson was out there on the waiver wire or on the, on waivers for the NFL, they were like, we'll bring you in and we'll make sure to give you the majority of the carries. Like that's the qualification that he was like, all right, I'll go to Seattle. Like, I don't know. That's the only thing that I can come up with for why they would give AP more carries than Penny. But also Penny has been hurt and, you know, you don't want to give him suddenly 20 touches in this first game. You want to make sure that he can make it back. So the matchup here is at least making me look Rashad Penny's way.
Dude, I think if they gave Penny 20 touches, he would turn into dust like in the Avengers. I have no idea what would happen to him if he got 20 touches. I don't know why they didn't go to Homer more after he had that 70-yard touchdown. I know it was on a fake and everything, but he looked fast. Give him the ball. Let him try. But look, Welsh also Rashad Penny. So you guys are simpatico with the running backs for sure here. I'm going to go Devontae Booker against the Chargers. The same logic that Welsh is using for Barkley, I'm going to use for Booker because they split the carries between the two guys. So I think both of them could have pretty decent days, but if they give them splits instead of giving one guy the ball, it's going to make them both not as good as they potentially could be. So that's a little bit frustrating, but I will go with Booker as a dart for this week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams missed. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
Welcome back, friendos. I'm back. Look at that. 2 seconds.
Oh,
I was gone.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And you're back.
I am.
It's so
back.
Crazy.
In this league here, on Twitter at Is It the Welsh, at Bogman Sports, and at InThisLeague.com. I'm very ramped up for Deckard Balls next week, Bogman. It's
yeah,
kind of wild
it's
that
be
it's
so much fun.
Going to be here. Let's a lot go. Of people are going to be looking forward to it being over, so we don't talk about it anymore.
That's true.
But, you know, in old history, like maybe the video will or will not be available after. There's no guarantees in it. We want to tell people that. That's a big, important thing. It's our Christmas special. Bogman goes to the moon. I can get pretty wasted. Bogman might get wasted as well. Things can be said. Copyright violations can happen. You know, there's chaos. We don't truly know. I would say last year's was our best, though, with the In This League games we had. We had the Jesus cameo. We had some great stuff. We had some cameos from some of our favorite in the industry. You should expect all of that and more in this year's coming one. But here's a question, though. Do you have any surprises in store, Bogman?
I have at least one surprise in store.
Really? So, okay, because yes. I had the surprise last year. I definitely in lockstep to have a surprise as well. So you have got a surprise. I've got a surprise. We're going to be opening presents. Oh, we're going to have some music from our boy Jack, who has been the parody song king in the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, and maybe get some shout outs from a little like, little roasting maybe from some industry guys. I'm going to reach out to some of our industry friends and maybe do a little Christmas roast from a few of them. I think that would be fun.
That don't sounds you? Great.
Yeah. I'll say roast Bogman, please. Don't roast me.
I don't like that so much. Yeah. So
maybe we should get that guy on that emailed you about the picks on betting pros. Yeah, we'll get those type of roasting people.
Yeah, I'm sure he can put sentences together as I stumble over it. Making fun of him, making fun of myself.
Isn't that the worst? You're gonna.
You know
like
what? Maybe everybody should roast me.
You're just about to kill it. You're just about to rock it, and then you just fumble it, and you're like, God dang it! Yep. Like you don't even want to talk anymore. I hate that. You're gonna make a great
Ravens
point.
At the goal line.
All right, friends. KC Bubba is coming in the house. It is Bogman and Bubba. Man, what a freaking week! It's going to be beautiful. Don't go anywhere. I'm out. Bubba's in. It's Bubba and Bogman for In This League Hour 3 right after this.